Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
You're listening to the God Center Mom Podcast with me, Heather McFadden. As the mom of four young boys, I know motherhood's hard. But sometimes I think I make it harder than it needs to be by putting myself in the center of things or even my kids. I forget to place God there and be led by His Spirit. I also tend to forget that I'm surrounded by God. He goes before me, He walks with me on the hard days, and He comes behind me when I make a mistake. So each week I'll interview someone new and we'll discuss what it means to be a God-centered mom. Thanks for listening. Welcome to the God-Centered Mom Podcast. I have told you with the last podcast that I was interviewing a mentee, and I've interviewed mentors. Well, y'all, today I have Nancy Williams, and she actually is the mentor to my mentor. It's like the grandmother mentor, right?
I guess so.
Generationally, yeah. And what I love about the relationship I have with Nancy is not just that, but when I met Nancy at a women's retreat for our church, we were just talking about where we're from, and I happened to mention I was from Carmel, Indiana, and she says, no, no way. We find out that she was in a Bible study with my mom back, when was that? I'm going to age
you. I can't even think. Oh, yes.
Probably before I was born.
In the 70s.
In the 70s. Uh-huh. Yeah, in the 70s. And here we were sitting in Texas, just chatting, both from the same church. And so I'm just honored to have Nancy here and to share her amazing wisdom with you. Now, Nancy, tell everyone your information. How long you've been married, how many children, and what are their ages?
Well, we will soon be married 58 years in June if my husband straightens up. I've given him another chance.
No, no, no. 58 years. I don't even believe. Well, I don't believe that's the truth. That
he
you'll give
says
him another chance.
The secret to a happy marriage is for the man to say yes, dear.
Oh, well,
so
that's good.
He does that quite often.
Well, it worked. It worked. I think it's worked.
And we had three children. Our oldest is Jan, and 6 years later, we had Julie, and then 16 months later, we had David.
Oh, my goodness. And our 6 years apart, uh-huh. And then 16 months.
And I can relate to people wanting to get pregnant because I had planned on having the second child 2 years after Jan, and it took 6 years. And so we are very thankful for our three children. And from those three children, I had to count, but I think we're now a family of 22.
Oh, my goodness.
So we don't fit around my dining room table anymore. So we go into the kitchen and the dining room, and we have family
so
dinners.
How many grandkids is that?
I have 10 grandchildren, just had a new, grandchildren, yes, no, 9 grandchildren, and 4 great-grandchildren. So, and our oldest great-grandchild is 13, and I was thinking if the Lord gives us life for 10 years, we could be great, great. You know, that just kind of sounds scary. It makes me think I might be getting older, but.
Oh, I mean, I wish this was a video, because if you could see the life and the laugh lines and the smile lines in Nancy's face, you would not believe that she has a 13-year-old great-grandchild. I'm telling you. It's unbelievable. So all those numbers sound amazing.
Uh-huh.
And
they
three
are.
Children, and it just, you'd be a super mom. But I know you, and I know how vulnerable and honest you are with your story. It wasn't always perfect.
No.
And since this is the God Center Mom Podcast and we go there, we talk about the hard things and how even in the hard things, God's there.
Amen.
And
Amen.
He's surrounding us. In your motherhood journey, can you share with the listeners what were the humbling times, what were the hardest times where you learned to lean on God the most?
Well, my husband traveled. He was in construction. And he would leave on Monday, and he'd come home on Friday. Mm. And when he'd walk in the door, I'd say, okay, honey, here's your kids. I'm going to bed. Your dad and I agree on everything, and don't ask me permission for anything, because I was just ready to get rid of that responsibility. Mm. And my husband's wonderful. He wasn't involved in anything socially or even at church, so that when he'd be home Friday night, he was with his kids Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Mm. And thus, with daughters in their 50s and a son in his 50s, they all love on their dad. Mm. And the girls will even sit on their lap today. So he did not miss out being a good father. Mm. So,
But that was hard. You've shared with me.
Yes, that was hard.
The hardness of, and until earlier you'd shared a story about how one day, you know, you'd had the whole week, you'd been doing everything. Yeah, everything. And what did you say when he walked in
the door? Well, he walked in the door and, you know, the suit and looked pretty handsome and walks in and said, "Hi, honey, how are you?" And I said, "Oh, I'm great. I've been doing diapers all week. I've been cleaning up spit up." And so I just start telling him about my not so wonderful week. I said, "Not like you, jetting all over the United States and being with presidents of companies and vice presidents." And he looked at me and he had tears rolling down his cheek. I'll never forget it. And he said, "Honey, I would much rather be home. But I'm doing this for you and the children." Mm. And for some reason, I didn't realize that his provision was for us. Mm. Not just for his ego or anything. It was for us to provide for his family. So it really put a different perspective on it for me. Although at that time, you had to realize there were no cell phones. Mm. So it wasn't like I could talk to him.
Mm. Skype.
No Skype. And so consequently, his secretary would know what hotel he would be in at night. Mm. And he'd call me when he got to that hotel. So if I had an emergency, I just had to do what I felt best about it.
And did it make you more assertive as a mom? I mean, did it grow you up in your ability to be independent, or were you always independent?
Well, I've always been pretty independent, but it did grow me up a little bit, well, quite a bit, because when he'd be in town, I wouldn't ask him if he wanted to drive. I mean, I'd just be over there under the steering wheel going, and then I'd say, "Oh, honey, would you like to drive?" You know, here he'd have passenger side door open waiting for me to get in, and I didn't even see it. You know, mothers are on a schedule.
Just automatic system kicks in. Yes. I mean, I've seen that, you know, even in our life when, you know, I kind of do everything. He helps with breakfast and bedtime, but like we have a system and how we do things. Uh-huh. And then the weekend comes and now you're both kind of there. Right. Doing the lunch and doing, you know, the discipline, and you just said there's a lot more coordination on the weekends.
And so he would always fix breakfast on Saturday for them, and we had no dishwasher, and he would dirty every pot and pan in the kitchen and, of course, leave them so he could go in and have playtime with them. And I didn't ever say anything about it, but I can't say in my heart I was really happy about that. Yeah. You know, because here I was working again. But you
moved on.
I moved on. Yeah, it wasn't a problem. I was so glad he chose to pour into his children's lives during that
time.
You kind
of took one for the team so he could be with them.
Right.
So it was, I mean, I think it's hard for me to stay quiet when I want to say something. Mm-hmm. So I kind of throw a little dagger. Oh, nice that you left all the...
Uh-huh.
Bruce, fortunately, he's a dishwasher king. I mean, he loves...
Wonderful.
I know. I'm kind of blessed in a lot of ways. But he loves... So I don't have that thing. But, you know, I'll throw little things here or there instead of just... Would you ever tell him, you know, "I wish you didn't do all the dishes," or did you just stay quiet? And
no, I stayed quiet. I read a devotional once that said, "God gave you two things to protect you from your tongue. One is your teeth, and one's your lips." So I would close my teeth and then my lips. And I am so glad I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
And it just, and one day, this is kind of off the subject, but I asked him what was the most important thing I do for him. And he said, "You're my encourager."
Oh.
And I thought, thank you, Lord, that there were times when he would be down about decisions he would have to make at work, letting people go.
Mm.
And I'd try to encourage him, and he never seemed to take my encouragement. Mm. And there was a time when I wanted to say, "You know, I'm done. If you want to lay in the mud, just stay there." But I didn't. Mm. And I was so glad I didn't. So God protected me with my lips and teeth from saying anything. Because, you know, you like to know if someone is taking your encouragement. Mm. But your encouragement shouldn't depend you see it received.
If they like it or not. You just keep pouring it out. That's a really good word. Okay,
so back to my children.
So the husband, that was the challenging part of motherhood, is that you did it alone a lot during the week.
Right.
So that really, for the moms out there listening who maybe have a husband in the military or a husband who travels a lot or, you know, just works a lot of hours, that you relied on God a lot.
Right. And I think a blessing of my generation is that we were more or less in a box Mm. We didn't have television. We didn't have iPads. We didn't have communication to find out what everybody else was doing. You just were in the Word. And I remember I had a Better Homes and Gardens, How to Raise Children book that was so elementary, but I did have that one book. And then looking back at my mother, and then also just praying about it. And that was what I went with. Mm. I didn't know what other people were doing, and I really didn't care what other people were doing. Mm. And I think you all have such good resources now, and I'm not putting that down at all, as long as you don't let that determine what you do for your children, because your giftedness is different than your neighbors.
Yes.
So you have to take what God has given you, because your children are different than your neighbors.
I really want to emphasize that. I mean, because you and I were talking about that a minute ago, that, you know, there's all these books out that people write because they're good at that thing. Mm-hmm. So she writes a book on being organized and keeping a home really neat, but maybe her giftedness isn't welcoming a friend warmly and praying on a whim and, you know, playing on the floor with their kids. But you, that's where you're gifted. So you're trying to be both people.
Right.
And so you really, I think, I see, look around, you know, well, if I read this blog post and it tells me to do that, and I read that book and it tells me to do that, and I have this resources, I can do it all.
Right, right.
And that may not even be, yeah, like you said, who God made you to be, or if you seek him, like you were mm-hmm. kind of forced to do,
yes,
he will guide you for that child in that moment with that issue.
Right. And it just, you know, and then I think you're sure of what you do. Mm. I mean, you have confidence.
Because it comes from the Lord.
That it doesn't yeah. really matter how it turns out.
Yeah.
Because the first time we had kind of a heartache with one of our children, mm. where sin came into their life, My husband said to me once that really opened my eyes. I said, you know, pardon me for going ahead with
no,
that.
No, that's good. That's exactly perfect.
He said, I would just die if our kids ever took drugs or had sex before they were married.
Mm.
And he looked at me. He said, why would that bother you? Because you're Nancy Williams?
Mm.
And I stopped to think about it, and I thought, yes, what would people say about Nancy Williams' children?
Mm.
Doing those things.
Mm.
So that was in the back of my mind. So when we had the opportunity to have a daughter that was pregnant before she got married,
mm.
God had prepared me through my husband
mm.
that, you know, what do we need to do? Do we need to take this child? Do we need to rear it? What can we do to help you? Mm. And of course they wanted to get married, and they did. But the main thing was God prepared me through my husband. Now, when Doug got the news, it was kind of overpowering for him. And I thought how God used him as an instrument
mm.
in my life. Because it wasn't about me.
Mm.
It was how we can walk through this time together. And of course that was probably 35 years ago. So it was very uncommon for this to happen openly, you know, and to see how.
And how did people respond? How did your friends respond? Because I know, I mean, that's the thing, right? That's what you were saying.
Right.
What would people say about Nancy Williams if my child fill in the blank?
Uh-huh. Well.
So what did people say?
Well, it was amazing. We let everyone know she was pregnant. She was just barely pregnant. And we had her go call her grandmothers and tell them.
So any of friends, like how did your friends come around you at that time? Were they
crying?
Crying.
Mm-hmm. Crying, hurting for us.
And not judging. I think that's the thing. We fear if my kid does drugs. For the boys, you know, I think we go to drugs. For the girls, we go to pregnancy. As the worst possible option for our children.
Yes.
And yet, if it does, when it does... Really, it might be what brings them to the throne of God's grace.
Well,
in us.
It's an opportunity to see the power of God work in you and in the situation.
Mm.
Because never would you think it would happen.
Mm.
Why would sin come into your kid's life?
Mm.
They know the Bible. They've all accepted Christ. Well, why does sin come into my life?
Mm.
I mean, Satan's alive and well.
And we view those sins as different.
Yes.
You know, if the one girl who's getting all A's and top of the class, and yet she's judging or gossiping,
right?
We don't
or lying.
We aren't embarrassed by her.
Yeah.
But the one that it may have a baby, all of a sudden that's the thing that we're fearful of happening. And yeah, that's revealing to our hearts, right?
Yes, definitely. So, and we had a church wedding, and we wanted everyone there that would pray for them during their life. And it was a standing room only church, people there supporting them in prayer. And it just was beautiful to see the support of the body of Christ and how they hurt. And they really hurt more for us than what we were hurting, because we were being lifted up by their prayers. You know how when you go through a situation, you have so many people praying for you that you wonder how you're going through it so wonderfully, and it's because they're lifting you up before the throne. So, and then I had to realize the first thing was that I did not raise any of my children differently. And sin is alive and well, and I am not responsible for the path they choose. It has nothing to do with my value. I love them just the same. And it's such a joy when they go through struggles to walk with them in the power of the Lord to encourage them. Nothing's impossible with God. And as we look back at our life recently, as we were sitting around our dining room table, we told our family, said, this is definitely the best part of life. Of course, we're blessed with good health, but it is the best part of life because we look back and we see all the prayers answered for our family, but they weren't the prayers we prayed. Many of them weren't. God answered them in a different way. And one of our grandsons said he couldn't be where he was with the Lord today if it wasn't for the tough times. And I don't think we would ever pray tough times for our children, nor do I think I could. But I think we have to be really careful that when God puts them through tough times, we don't make it easy for them. We don't step in and try to be the Savior because he's teaching them something. Right. But to walk through that tough time with them.
And be a support. I think that that was something you said you'd talk to your daughter this morning, who is living with you now, right?
Right.
That... what was the thing that stood out in your family? And what conclusion did you come to? You said there was one thing about your family that...
The love, just the total love they have for one another. And it's nothing... we've had Christ passed down through generations. Yeah. We would sit around a table and pray. My parents would. So consequently, I tried to think, what have we done to make such a close family? They desire to be together. And as I was talking to my daughter, she says, Mom, I don't think we've done anything. I think it's just unconditional love that we have for each other. And our family knows any member would be there for the other if they needed them. So,
but that's a big thing.
It is.
And, you know, we haven't done anything. But that to me is, that's everything, right?
Well, love
wins. That's everything.
That is.
What have you done? You know, your daughters go through hard times and you're there. And you support them. You love them. The message that you're giving through your actions is, we love you unconditionally.
Yeah, unconditionally. And I think, you know, I guess there's a time to hide the truth in a situation. But... God gets glory from the truth. You know, if you wait till a situation's over and don't say anything about it, God's taken you through that situation and you've not been able to go back and share it. It's different than people praying for you because they have the joy of seeing prayers answered. So it just, all those times that you wouldn't have asked God to bring to your life, if you had been wise enough, you would have asked for him because where they put you in a relationship with the Lord.
And you had also shared something really good that, you know, you say sitting around the table and generations and how you have love and times that they've communicated how important that love is to them. But that communication is coming from grandsons who may not have shared those things. But I would really love for you to share the idea and the thing that you've done in your family. For 40 years, you've done this.
I would think at least 40.
Okay, so tell them, what do you call it?
It's called... we call the sharing of the corn. I get a little tassy cup or a little nut cup and put 3 pieces of corn. Each year, I try to put the fourth one, but they tell me no, only 3. So we have a fight over it.
It's like, she brought one here. It's like
a corn griddle.
It's like a tiny little, it looks like a cupcake liner, but like a mini muffin size. And you give this set it at each person's spot.
Uh-huh.
And you put three kernels of corn
in
it. Okay. And so then what do you do?
With the dessert, and now we're at two tables, they bring their little corn cup in to the, we all do it at the main table. And then Doug, usually I think starts with scripture, and then we go around the table, and I pass a bowl, and one by one they say what they want to thank the Lord for.
So kind of like the Thanksgiving tradition of sharing what you're thankful for.
Yes.
But this is throughout the year, whenever anyone's in your home for a meal, this is what you do.
Uh-huh. Well, not throughout the year. It usually starts about Thanksgiving on through the Christmas.
Okay.
But with our
family.
Which
you really could.
Yeah, you really could. It would
be
wonderful.
You really could every time you have a dinner party or every time.
Every day.
Every day. I mean, gratitude.
A lot of bowls of corn.
Enter his gates with Thanksgiving, right?
We talked about cords with grace.
Yeah.
But what is so neat about it, I don't know what the kernel of popcorn does. You know, I don't know what it does, but it allows people to be free to say something they probably wouldn't walk up to say to your face.
Mm.
One of my grandsons this year, well, my kids laugh. I keep telling them I'm going to write a book and call it The Life of the Best Evers, because I always say, this is the best ever Thanksgiving. And they laugh at me. This is another best ever, Nana, right? And I say, yes. But my one grandson said he so thanked God for his family. And he said he had friends at college that didn't go home for Thanksgiving because they didn't have a family to go to.
Mm.
And he just was heartbroken about that.
Mm.
And then my grandson that was in college in California, he said, I just couldn't wait to get here and share because I know my family always has my back.
Mm.
Well, we see them at Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's always been our holiday where everybody comes.
Yeah.
And the rest of the family's here, but David lives in California. Now, when they lived in China 5 years, and they would send their thank yous so we could say them for them. Mm. But he said the only bad thing is we don't get to hear everybody else since they had wanted us to film them, you know. But they go around and say three things they're thankful for. And so many times it will be a hard time about how God has taken them. We all sit there and cry. Mm. I mean, my tablecloth has had more tears on it than probably food.
Mm.
And it's such a drawing together. It makes them all so close. And over the years, we've like vacationed together as a family.
Mm.
We did family things together.
Well, and there's a vulnerability. I think that when you're doing that, you're opening yourself up a little bit, but it's okay because everyone is.
Everyone is.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. It's almost like going to a costume party.
Mm-hmm.
If you know everyone's going to look ridiculous.
You'll do it, yeah.
And then it's very fun, and it's almost like a bonding thing because, look, we all looked ridiculous together. I mean, Bruce and I love, like, you know, a themed costume party because it takes people out of their walls and their barriers.
Oh, that's right.
And so I think this is what it's an activity, and we know we're doing it.
Yeah.
And yet – it takes people and kind of cracks into their hearts a little bit and opens it up and spills it out and lets them know I value you. You know, like you said, didn't you share once? I mean, I don't know if you want to share that story, but one cousin sharing with another.
Oh, yes. One of my grandsons at one end shared with tears running down his face with my other grandson. What an inspiration he was for him as far as watching his walk with the Lord. And this grandson has had a few years of walking in rough places.
Mm.
But through Celebrate Recovery and turning his life back and to the track where the Lord wanted him to go, he's in leadership. And so
the one who'd gone through the rough place had been a spiritual leader to the other cousin.
To the other one.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And what a gift for him to hear.
Oh, yes.
Even
and
though
I
I'd been through
that
this
he would have walked up and said it. Hey, I just want you to know.
Mm.
But there is just some kind of dynamics. And they expect it now.
Yeah,
it's
they're
expected.
Preparing. Yeah.
They are preparing.
Yeah,
and like I say, I do it with other people. And this group of girls that come in every year, the one girl said she just about didn't come because of the sharing of corn, because everything had been such a tragedy in their life this year. She said, I almost turned back. And I said, oh, don't you ever do that. You can just say pass. But she said, but then it made me think of what we do have.
Mm.
So it made her go, I mean, what? Had to sell their house, husband's out. I mean, just all kinds of things. She thought it was all negative until she thought, oh, I have so much
to be thankful
for, to turning
attention.
It back.
Yeah.
So I have found it to be such a blessing in our life.
such just a love blessing. It.
Yeah.
I love it. And I hope it's a blessing to y'all and that you see, I know that Thanksgiving we've done that, gone around and sometimes I think if it's not this official thing with the corn, sometimes people, I'm thankful for my family, I'm thankful for my house. Uh-huh. They don't go to the vulnerable place.
Right.
So I think it requires a standard of, you know, of this is what we do, and maybe even you and Doug being vulnerable and specific.
And so. We just, you know, there's just tears all over the place. I mean, you just can't.
So you get your corn and you get a Kleenex.
Oh, well, yeah, we tried to. They always say, well, I wasn't going to cry. Every woman says that. Yeah. Well, I wasn't going to cry, but.
Yeah.
But no, it's just, awesome. You just can't imagine. One of my life verses is Ephesians 3:20. To him who, oh gosh, I've forgotten it.
Oh no, you didn't, it's there.
Yes. Okay, well.
It's there, it's in your head, it's in there. Uh-huh. You'll retrieve it.
That's even more than we could ever.
Immeasurably more, yes.
Immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. Mm-hmm. And that, to him who does immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And that's certainly our life. Mm-hmm. Because we could never have asked God for what he's given us. I mean, it's just way too big. All your children know the Lord. All your children love the Lord. I mean, that's the hope of your soul. And
even if on this planet they walked a hard road, it didn't include a pregnancy before marriage.
Yeah.
You said some of your daughters.
Some had some grandchildren into drugs and all that.
And some divorces in the mix. Even. Their souls for eternity will be with you and the memories together.
Oh, yeah.
Trump the trials.
Trumps everything.
Yeah.
And you just sit back and you stand in amazement.
Because I think, you know, Leslie provided some perspective on her kids are in college.
Yes.
And, you know, you'll get through these hard years with your boys. But you've even got the distance of, okay, yeah, they go to college. Yeah, they get married. Then you got more trials ahead.
Right.
You've got more trials ahead. And even with that.
Yeah.
Even with that, no matter what road they walk, if you have handed them salvation,
it's more than
that's what matters most.
Then to see the grandchildren, passing that down to their children, to see your children establishing a home. None of my children ever said, "Boy, our home's just the best." Mm. If anything, I heard it was negative. You know, "Mom, you're the worst mom." You know, all those things.
Oh, they said those things.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. I did not, because I had rules. I had a lot of rules. And so I was always the worst mom and the least understanding and blah, blah, blah. But I was confident in what I was doing. And, you know, I wasn't going to let that influence me.
Yeah.
I couldn't take a vote on popularity. Then as you see them go off, it's always been a joy to watch them go off. And I cry a lot in life, but I've never cried at weddings or when they come and go, because it's so beautiful to see that God has given them their life and is multiplying it, and they're reaching out to people.
Mm.
And it's just like I say, it is the very best time of life, because it's...
best ever.
Best ever. It is another best ever day. You're right. It's the best ever time of life.
The grandkids' best ever, great-grandkids' best ever. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, any last words of wisdom? I know you and I have hit all kinds of different. I mean, I would feel like I bring something up, and then you have a good word.
Oh, well,
you have a good word. I asked her about friendships earlier. She has a good word. And just random things with kids. And even, I don't know, if this stage of life, I feel like I'm so bogged down with the guilt. You know, the mom guilt of not being able to love enough because I'm trying to keep the home up. Not being able to meet all the needs. There's four kids. They all need me. So did you ever have the mom guilt?
No, but I think you could just say, "Satan, get out of here."
Okay.
Because I think that's Satan.
Okay.
You are there for your kids.
Yeah.
Your heart's there for your kids.
Yeah.
You live your life for your kids.
Right.
And I think that's Satan trying to defeat you.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter. I mean, if your laundry's not done, you'll find time to do it. You balance things so well with all your activities.
Uh-huh.
I stand amazed. But God has helped you because of your giftedness. Mm-hmm. But don't let guilt come in. Analyze it. Mm-hmm. And if it's something you should change, change it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think any time I read where it says, Satan condemns you and God convicts and shows you a way of escape.
That's a good one.
So if you really feel condemnation, that's not of the Lord. He will tell you what you're doing. Yeah.
Now no condemnation.
No condemnation. Romans, right? Yeah. And so, but he can convict you and then will show you a way of escape to be able to be all things to all people as he wants you to be. Yeah. But
I do remember it's coming to mind a friend, a good family friend growing up. She had 10 kids. She's now passed away, but when her kids were reflecting on her life, and she's just a beautiful person, and they said it just seemed like she always met my needs. And I asked her one day, "How are you meeting 10 kids' needs?" Mm-hmm. And she said, "Every morning when I meet with the Lord, I say, Lord, please direct me to which child needs me most today."
Wow.
Yeah.
How wonderful.
I know. I forgot it. It just came back to me. But I think that that's it. Sometimes that one may need me more in that moment. Maybe it's a sickness, or maybe it's a hard time at school, and I just need to realize I cannot physically meet all of their needs. And then it's also another mom who had multiple children said, there'd been unmet needs. She got in bed and she just said, "I cannot meet all of your needs, but there is one who can."
Amen. Yeah.
And really directing our children back to the Lord in those times, especially the older ones who know, who know who the Lord is and maybe even accepted him in their lives, that there is a transfer.
Definitely.
That can happen.
Definitely.
Maybe I'm feeling hurt. I may pray to God. Maybe I'm feeling scared. Let me pray to God. So, yeah, I think that's I think conviction over condemnation, I think, is a good word. Thanks.
Well, and also something I did when they were small, not every day, but some days I'd ask them what was going on at school that we could pray about.
Mm.
And we'd pray about it before they went to school. Mm. And the joy of that is it helps them see God work something out. Like there was one little boy, Billy, was so mean to David, and he says, he's just so mean to me all the time. And so we prayed about it. Oh, when he came out of school that night, he says, "Mom, guess what God did?"
Right.
So it kind of helped them
take
see.
Yeah, that's a good, yeah.
But I don't think there's anything more difficult than being a mother or more rewarding. And I really think we do young mothers or expectant mothers a disservice when we tell them how wonderful it will be, because it's difficult.
It's really not like difficult. They say, the young years are hard, but then you'll be fine. No.
Yeah.
No, you can't have that expectation that it's going to be easy, breezy, beautiful once your kids are in school.
Yeah. So it robs you so much of your own time. You have no own time anymore. Everything centers on your kids, rightfully so. But it is the greatest, greatest gift in the whole world, because it's the greatest joy. It's really, I think, the only thing that's eternal that you have anything to do with as you build into your children's life.
I see it as like the ultimate ministry.
Oh, amen, yes.
Because they're seeing you lose it.
They're
seeing you how you spend your time,
right?
They are your most, their closest disciples you'll ever have.
You are,
they're
so
following,
right,
literally in your footsteps like little ducks, you know, and it's hard, they're seeing, did she say that Sunday morning and now look how she's acting Tuesday night when she can't handle it and she just told all those kids Sunday morning they can trust in the Lord. And it's very true.
It's difficult.
I think at those times I'm always, you know, we make mistakes. And
yeah, and that's good to let them know that.
We can't keep up perfect. There's no such thing. Or we wouldn't need Jesus. That's what I always tell them. If we all got it right all the time, we wouldn't need Jesus to have died on the cross. There would have been no problems. That's a blessing.
And so consequently, we have tried to do that in our home. If Doug and I have to have a negative conversation about someone, well, then we do it out of their earshot. And that way, I think it gives you a very good self-image that if someone acts like they like you, they like you. I mean, you don't have to worry about them going home and talking
about you.
Talking behind
your
back. There was some type of security
that
formed in our life as a child.
I think that's good. That's really good. Really good. Okay, well, I think you're amazing. I just do. I wish everyone had you in their life.
Oh, you're so sweet.
And thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you for allowing
me
to.
And sitting across the table from me and drinking tea.
Oh, it was wonderful. Thank you.
All right. And I hope you all have a wonderful, whatever you're doing today, and that you can just know God's love so that you can pour out unconditional love. I think we can't truly love our children unconditionally, even a smidgen, if we don't know that love and if we don't have the Holy Spirit. You know, it's one of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. We just can't. We just can't. You can't muster that up. And so thank you, Nancy, for painting a vision of no matter what trials through kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, that love is what trumps it all and holds it all together. And I just am thankful for you. So y'all have a great day. Be blessed.
Thanks for listening to the God-Centered Mom Podcast. I hope you enjoyed our guests as much as I did. And if you're looking for resources on how to replace me with He, go to GodCenteredMom.com. I want you to know that God is just as present at your kitchen sink as your church pew, that He sees your service and He is pleased. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you, and He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Have a great day.